First Philippine Baptist Church. For our guests, thank you for coming. Welcome, Francis Parent. Let's come to the Lord in prayer once again as we come to His Word. Father, we praise You, we honor You, for You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence in our lives and in Your church. We pray, Holy Spirit, that You would be honored, that You would teach us something new today, that You would encourage us, comfort us. Be with those who are grieving. Be with those who are hurting, God. Pray, Lord, that Your words will speak truth, will refresh us, but spiritually feed us, Father. And thank You again, Jesus, for being the author and perfecter of faith, our Savior, our God. We love You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 28 today. As we enter the new year, 2018, we are going to a new sermon theme for 2018. And the title of the new sermon theme for throughout 2018 is Go, Disciple, and Grow. Now, the past 6 months, as your pastor, I believe can be summed up in two words. Blessed and learning. Blessed because my family and I have truly felt God's love through His faithfulness and call to be here in Houston. For those who are first-time guests, I'm their recent new senior pastor. I moved here from San Francisco, California, 6 months ago. And we also felt the love of our church. And really, there are many times throughout the past 6 months where my wife and I looked at each other and really said, is this really real? We said that because the church was so loving, the church was so caring, was really a serving church. And there's times we just looked at each other like, my goodness, they're so nice. They're so loving to us. And really, when Christmas came, you guys gave way too much gifts. And thank you again. And we really felt your generosity and your love. And I had to pinch myself, like, is this a dream? And to the point where you guys know my boys, William, Ethan, and Jack. And as soon as Jack sees the church, he gets into this mode of excitement and joy. And he says, I love church. I love church. And he would say, I don't want to go, right, when we have to go. And that just shows how much, really, you guys have showed your love to our family, to my kids. And there's even times where, you know, we were just in awe of God's faithfulness and how God brought us here. We would never thought that God would bring us to such a healthy church, a loving church. And thank you for that, and I praise God for that. The other word that needs to be described for my last 6 months is learning. Learning because I'm learning about our church. That includes you as a member, our leaders, our staff, and the traditions we have. Because we have traditions, right? And some we should keep, some probably gone, I'm just kidding. But really, just trying to learn just the rhythm of the church and the characters we have and the people we have, and really it's been a learning experience for me, and learning about the spiritual history of the church, how it began with women from Ilongo who are nurses who started this church, and its current spiritual condition and what's happening today. I also learned about our wonderful city of Houston and the surrounding great cities we have, and learned about our crazy weather. Right? Coming from California is a little different. And from heat, humidity, and it was really hot, to our hurricane season and how Harvey was crazy. Right? And to the awesome winter we have, because I love your winter. I love our winter. But I believe it's going to be 70s today. And really, and as I met the families we have in our church and learned about your history, and really been blessed. My family and I have been blessed. And so, as we go through the new year, and as I began praying the last 3 months about the theme that God has put in my heart, which is go, grow, and disciple. And really, this vision that God put in my heart really occurred because, again, we have a healthy church, which is good. We have people who love God. We have people who are all around this, all around Houston and in the great cities. And as I began praying, God put this word go. And it's not that we're not going out enough, or we're not going out to tell people about Jesus. I think we're doing that in many aspects of our ministries, but I believe God wants us to go further. And it starts with you, actually. And it doesn't have to be an actual ministry, whether that's sports ministry, that's Bible study. It actually begins with you as followers of Christ. And I believe in 2018, God's going to teach us how to go as families, go as individuals, whether you're in college or a young professional, to go on out to your circle of influence, to your community, to your workplace, to your school, to the medical hospitals you work at, and tell people about Jesus. Not only that, we're going to learn about disciple or discipleship. I think our church is in need of discipleship. And discipleship really means that we have to have community where there's accountability between each other, where we're going to help each other grow in Christ, and so that we're not just on an island on our own trying to battle life and go through the struggles and the trials that life throws at us and the spiritual frustrations we face. And so we're going to do it together. And we're going to copy what Jesus did and what the disciples did. And I'm excited for what God is going to do in our church through this discipleship program that we're going to implement in our church. And lastly, it's grow. Not that our church is not growing, but I believe, again, there has to be spiritual maturity in all of us. Not just the leaders, not just certain people, right? God called all of us, as followers of Christ, to grow spiritually in the Lord. And so, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to push us to greater length in growing in spiritual maturity and development. Because I believe when we grow in Christ, we are able to face the trials and battles we will face in 2018. But again, we are going to be able to endure. We're going to be able to step out of faith and grow in our faithfulness in the Lord. Amen? And I'm excited for what God is going to do through your families, through our church as a whole, and the leaders that will come out of our spiritual maturity in the Lord. And so as we begin our 2018 new sermon theme, we're going to begin with disciple. Again, God's mission for us as a whole, most churches know this, and this is their mission statement, is to make disciples who make disciples. And it's important for us to understand and clarify these for at least two reasons of what is our mission. Because what is a disciple? And if we are going to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ and make new disciples, it's important for us to understand what is a disciple? What is exactly a disciple? What does that look like? And how do you go through that process of making a disciple? And it's also important for us to understand the foundation of the vision of FBC, which is we are a gospel community, gospel-centered community of believers with a strong passion to reach the lost and make Jesus Christ known to all people. Amen? And we are committed to reaching Filipino-American community in Houston so that they can hear the gospel and become mature disciples of Christ. And if you look at our church, we have Sunday service, we have worship in our Sunday service, we have prayer meetings on Friday, but throughout the week, we have community Bible studies. Amen? And our community Bible studies is part of our church. So it's not just on Sunday. So when we have community Bible studies, whether that's in Southeast, or that's in Cypress, whether that's in Pearland, whether that's in Stafford, wherever our Bible studies are at, that's an extension of our church. And if you think about our Bible studies, it's actually the instrument or the catalyst for growing disciples. Because you're not just going to grow when you just come to church every once a week. There has to be a time where you are
going to your community groups, and you're doing life with each other as Christians. And there you are held accountable. There you are being encouraged. There you are being rebuked by your leaders who love you when you sin, when you fall back into your old life. And so therefore, our community Bible studies, church, are not merely something we do. No, they are more than that. They're an expression of who we are as a church, who we are in Christ, as disciples who make disciples. Right? Our statement, when you look at the front, it says, we are, what's our statement? Making disciples? Changing lives. And so if that is our statement, we have to live it out. And so if we look at Matthew chapter 4, if you turn your Bibles there, the initial call of the disciples by Jesus himself in Matthew 4:19, and even the last words he spoke to them in Matthew 28:16-20, if you look at them side by side, it provides a great definition for both a disciple and discipleship. And so today we're going to really learn what is a disciple, what is discipleship. Well, let me give you a definition of what is a disciple. A disciple is someone who serves and worships God. He or she is changed by the Holy Spirit and obeys Jesus' command to follow him. What is discipleship? Discipleship is leading, teaching, and modeling how to daily submit our lives to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus Christ. Church, if you don't know this by now, discipleship intersects all of life. That is, in every aspect of your life within the course of everyday life. And that's why I mentioned why community Bible studies is so crucial for us, so vital for discipleship to occur. Because again, if you're just going to church once a week, and there's no one encouraging you, no one teaching you, no one modeling what it looks like to follow Jesus and grow in the Lord, what ends up happening is, you're trying to do it on your own, and you struggle, and you fail. And the truth is, you become just like a baby Christian, never growing in the Lord. You're like 60, and you still have just the basic. And you're still struggling with the things that you struggled with 20 years ago. And you never step out of faith because you're still a baby Christian. Because there was never a discipleship. There was no one ever taking you aside and saying, let me help you grow in the Lord. Let me have accountability with you so that I can teach you how to read the Bible. I can hold you accountable when you sin. And so that is key in our Bible, in our community Bible study groups. Because if you think about it, how can someone lead me to submit my marriage to the empowering presence of the Lord if they don't see, and or they don't know me enough, they don't know me well enough in my own life? How can they really encourage me if I just see you once a week? But if I build relationships with you during Bible studies groups, through community Bible study groups, and we know each other more than just hello, but we truly know each other, we know our failures, we know our victories, we know what we're struggling with, then we can truly help each other out. Because when you look at Jesus, he knew his disciples. He spent 3.5 years with 12. I told you, he could have been the biggest megachurch pastor in the world, but he just chose to pick 12. And he chose 12 to spend time with them every day. That in his discipleship process. And really, how can we effectively lead someone to even mature in the Lord if, again, we ourselves are not being an example for them? The only way for us to be effective as a church, I believe, as disciples, is if we are sharing life with each other. And I know that's going to be difficult. But some of you guys are doing this already in your smaller circle. But there's so many of our church members who are out of that circle, who are not attending community Bible studies. But if we get everyone plugged in and sharing life with each other, then I believe Christ will be the center of that community. Amen. I believe Christ will restore relationships. I believe Christ will bring out the dirt that we have, and he will clean us. Though it's going to be difficult, but again, just like we have heard about Renee's testimony, someone had to come along, Renee, and tell her about Jesus and encourage her. And that never happened. If she was just on her own, it would be difficult for her to grow in the Lord. But again, for us as FBC to go, grow, and disciple, we have to share each other's life. We have to encourage one another in growing in the Lord. And this has to happen in the context of our everyday life. Not just on the city, on our social media, where we know someone is sick, or we just... No, it's every day. We're checking on each other. We're encouraging one another. So for the next several Sundays, we'll be going over the topic of discipling and this process of discipleship and how to grow in the Lord, how to grow spiritually in Christ. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. The book of Matthew is written by Matthew, one of the disciples. And Matthew is one of the four Gospels. Gospels tell the story of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And if you don't know what the Gospels are, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." In Matthew 4:19, Jesus, his words were simple. It wasn't elaborate when he first called his disciples. And I love this about Jesus, because when Jesus calls you, he doesn't get theological with you. He doesn't get really elaborate in how he calls you. He is personal with you. He speaks to you in a way that you can understand him. And that is the God we serve. That is the God I serve. That is the God who loves us. And this is what he said to James and John, to Andrew, and his brothers, his Simon and Andrew. And he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me. Church, he didn't say, "Follow my religion. Follow being Baptist. Follow being Catholic. Follow being Presbyterian. Follow being that denomination or that denomination." Or he didn't say, "Follow FBC," right? Or he didn't say, "Follow this megachurch pastor or this great, amazing pastor." He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You see, in keeping with his characteristic as a teacher, he used a terminology that would inspire them, because they're fishermen, right? And so he used an illustration that they would understand. These men knew how to fish. Okay, Fred, we love fishing. If you ever want to join us on Mondays, we love fishing at San Luis Pass. And there they said, he says a concept of a task where he's calling them to follow him and to fish for men. And really, Jesus would still need to transform their lives from being fishermen to fishers of men. And so the point here is, he begins to say, "Follow me first. As you follow me, then, I will teach you." And that's a discipleship process. But before you can get to that discipleship process, you have to follow Jesus. Amen? And again, most of us, whether if you grew up in church, you're following religion. You're following tradition. And it's only when we truly understand who Jesus is in our lives that we can really see the clarity of the call to follow him. Because again, God's not calling us to follow religion. No, he's calling us to follow him. Because if you look at Jesus as he begins to disciple them, and what is their response? And I can't not tell you their response is. In verse 20, the response is immediate. When Jesus called the brothers, James and John, Andrew and Simon, the response was immediate. And their response was they left everything. James and John even left their dad. Not because they're abandoning his dad. No, no, no. Because they realized who Jesus is and who is their dad. That Jesus is more than their family. And for Peter and Andrew, they left their profession. How many of us today can say, if Jesus called you today, leave your job as a nurse, leave your job as a teacher, to be a missionary, or to do this, to plant a church, how many of us will say, okay, it's hard, right? But when you get the call from God to follow Him, whether that's, and it doesn't have to be a job, it could be your lifestyle that you're living now. How many of us are willing to immediately leave that land? And in Matthew chapter 5, as he begins the Sermon on the Mount, the author of Matthew unfolds really what Jesus does. Because when he was preaching to the crowds, he wasn't really focused so much on the crowd. He was focused on his disciples. Because as these disciples begin to follow Jesus, he wanted to begin the process of discipleship, the process of teaching, the process of modeling what it looks like to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And even when you guys know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, remember? When all the crowds were there and they were hungry and they had no other than Jesus performed this great miracle. It was in the context of teaching his disciples. And so, whenever Jesus was with his disciples, there was always a teaching process, illustration for them. He never took a break on discipling them because he was preparing them. And so, us as a church, we have to realize that worshiping God, loving God as FBC, it's not just on Sundays. It has to be part of every day of our lives. And so, getting plugged in, and I'm stressing this because if you're not plugged in a community Bible study, the truth is you're going to struggle on your own. We have to do life together. We have to follow Christ together. And the one condition necessary to becoming fishers of men, to becoming his disciples, is to follow him. This morning, are you following Jesus today? Or are you following religion? Are you following tradition? Or maybe you've just been caught up in your own life this past 2017. That the truth is, if you're just being honest with God, that you've just been following your life. And Jesus was just secondary. Don't you know him as your Lord and Savior? I've heard of many stories, life stories of following Christ. And when I think about my story, I think about Renee, I think about all the ones I even baptized, or even some of your stories when you told me your testimony, something sticks out about everyone's testimony. What sticks out is this moment of realization of who Jesus is. Because if you think about people's stories, they tell you their life before Christ, right? Their conversion story and their life after Christ. But for many of us who grew up in church, it's kind of hard to figure out what is my life before Christ. Because I gave my life to Christ when I was seven during VBS, right? But I struggled in my walk. But when did I truly follow him? Because when I hear the stories of people's testimonies, the beginning process was more like almost just religion or tradition. They were going, they loved God, right? They were going because their parents were Christians. But even that moment occurred when they realized who Jesus is. Because they were either going to believe everything he says is true, is he really the Lord of all creation, is he really my God, or not. When that moment occurred in their lives, they believed by faith and trusted him with all their hearts, all their minds, all their strength. And there was a difference in their lives. Whether this rededicating their lives or just fully committing to follow him. That happened to me during that camp that I was a counselor. That happened to Renee in Taiwan during worship, where God opened her eyes to who He is. And I'm sure that happened to you in your own life, but this morning, are you following Him with joy, with excitement? Or you've just been doing religion? You're just doing tradition? I really hope that as we continue our sermon theme for 2018, that this has to be first done in your life, that you follow Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 28, 16 to 20. As Jesus now displays how He discipled them. And again, Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the context here, this is the Great Commission statement to all Christians. And here is the very end of His discipleship process with His disciples. And it says in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, it says, Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." This is the very end of His discipleship process. And the disciples here were directed again by Jesus. And He directed them to go to the mountain, to wait for Him. And this context is where Jesus defeated death, right? He died several days ago, and He rose from the dead, from the grave, and is alive, and appeared to them several times. And here, He told them to go to the mountainside. And when they saw Him there, they worshipped Him. And as they worshipped Him, some even still doubted that He is God. And then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me." Speaking about that it's not just someone who's telling them what to do, that it was God telling them. That there's power in the words that Jesus is saying to His disciples. And the first word He says, as He continues, says, "Go." He said, "Go." And what that means is that as we are now following Christ, our mission is to go. Not to come. Really, it's not to come to church. You know, because I think we have to realize when Christ calls us, He doesn't call us to just come to church and just do our own lives. Because if that's what you really think, what it means to follow Jesus, then you're not on the same page of Jesus. Because again, when did He ask His disciples, the first fishermen, "Come follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men"? And so when He called them, they went and followed Him, and they left everything. And they continued to follow Jesus wherever Jesus said, "Come." Right? But if we are here today, and you're saying to yourself, and I'm saying to myself, "I'm following Jesus, but my life is just all about what I want to do," then we're not following Him. But Jesus is saying, go. We must go where lost people are. We must go where people are in need. And not only go where people are in need, He says, what did He say in the next verse, in verse 19? He says, where do we go to? Everyone, right? Who are the everyone? All nations. Not just Filipinos, not just Chinese people, everyone. All nations. Not just some people we think are fit to be part of our church, or looks the way we look like, dresses the way I dress, have the same job, right? It would really be sad if it's just all nurses in our church, right? No, we want everyone from every profession, from every walk of life, from every race, from every nation. That's what Jesus said, to everyone, not just some. And so when we go and share the truth about Jesus, we're sharing to everyone we encounter in life. That's why when I talk about when we're going to go, part of our theme is going. It's not just going and telling people when we have ministry events. No, it's when you're on your own, whether it's at Herman Hospital, Herman Memorial, or Methodist Hospital, getting your hospitals wrong. Kelsey Siebel, that's my hospital. Right, wherever you are, or if you're working at an HEB, or you're working at Costco, or anywhere you work at, you're going and telling people about Jesus. And that's to everyone. And then he says, and he continues, and he says, go therefore, make disciples, okay? And then he says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And so as we go to everyone, not just some, to everyone, we are making disciples. So if you are a follower of Christ, your mission is to go and make disciples. And if you've never made a disciple, and you're not Ethan's age, then you're really not obeying God's command. And you don't have to be a pastor. It's just because I'm a pastor, I'm the one making disciples. No. Because God called me, God called you. Amen? And so we are making disciples, not just church members. Because if we are just making church members at FBC, not disciples, our church will fall apart. Our church will be full of hypocrites and just putting on a mask when you come in that door and say, "How you doing? I'm doing great. Praise God." But in reality, we're hurting. We have sin in our lives. We're struggling. That's not what God called us to be. God called us to make disciples, not members. And so as Jesus displayed how to make disciples, what did he do? He taught. He modeled. He directed them. And he never asked them to do something without showing how to do it. He always modeled it. And so as we look at the topic of discipleship, leaders, we have to model what it looks like to follow Jesus. And please, members, call us out if we are not modeling that. We need accountability too, amen? Just as we hold you accountable, hold us accountable. And all our committees, all our deacons, and all our leaders in our committees, I'm calling you out. You have to model what it looks like to follow Jesus. Because again, if I'm not modeling it, the elders aren't modeling it, our deacons and our leaders and our committees not modeling it, then no one's going to model it, no one's going to follow. We have to model it as a church. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who serves and worships God. I want us to look at this. He or she is changed by the Holy Spirit and obeys Jesus' command to follow him. Look at these words, church. I'm not saying someone is Baptist, someone is Catholic, someone is... No, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who serves and worships God. And then he or she is changed by the Holy Spirit. That there's this process of sanctification. That there's this process of becoming like Jesus every day. That there's this process of struggling with your faith. It's okay to struggle. It's part of it. But when you struggle, you're desiring to be more like Christ. Not desiring to be like the world. Because if you are not struggling, if there's no conviction of sin in your life, of this desire to obey Jesus, the truth is you're not following him. That's the truth. You don't really follow him. You're following religion. And you know what happens when you follow religion? You have the same struggles. You have the same hurts. You get disappointed. You work and work. And the truth is, can you work for your salvation? Can you earn Christ's forgiveness? No. It is only by faith in Christ that you receive forgiveness. And then lastly, you obey His command. Even though it's hard, even though it might shake up your family dynamic, you obey the Word of God. Someone said this to me, you're never wrong to do the right thing. So the minute Satan tempts you, the minute Satan says, no, you just don't, it's okay, it's not that big of a sin. No, your wife's not going to know, your husband's not going to know, no, pastor's not going to know. Think about it. You know who's going to know? God. You know who's standing there? The Holy Spirit. Obey Him. Because I believe if James and John never obeyed and followed Jesus, yeah, maybe they would have been a successful fisherman, but they would have missed out on the great adventure that God has prepared for them. And the truth is, God has prepared this amazing adventure for you and your family. And this adventure is full of hope, full of love, full of peace and joy. And so as I close, I ask Keanu to come up now. What is the disciple? A disciple is someone who serves and worships God. He or she is changed by the Holy Spirit and obeys Jesus' command to follow Him. And what is discipleship? Discipleship is this. Discipleship is this process of someone leading you, or you leading someone, teaching and modeling how to daily submit your lives, our lives, to the empowering presence of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I put Lordship because the truth is, when He is your Savior and God, it's not about your life anymore. There's no more me, no more I. It's all about God. And statistically, most people in churches today